Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians, the Chinese, Martians, Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow out the cane of gum.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Yeah.
I am your conspiracy-loving host, Alisa Weglin, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in crime, Jert, the Kaiju Man Weglin.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. So, we begin our double feature of the 4th of Kaiju-Li.
The 4th of Kaiju-Li.
Kaiju-Li, American Monsters.
Yeah.
And we've got a few. We have a few of them.
Oh, say, can you see Godzilla's coming?
Oh.
Well, not really. He's Japanese, but he is our Lord and Savior.
And he's been to America.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes not so successfully, but more recently, yes. But what are we taking on today, Alisa?
Well, we're gonna be taking on some big ass spiders with eight legged freaks.
Yes, I love this movie.
David Arquette.
I saw this movie by myself, like most movies as a kid. How happy is that?
Well, you were an only child.
Yeah, that's true. But I was in high school, so I should have had friends at this time. Yeah. My mom would just drop me off, give me some money, and she probably thought I was meeting friends, but I was just going to watch movies by myself.
See, you're really brave because I was just as lonely in high school. But instead of being brave enough to go see movies by myself, I would just sit in my bedroom and read Harry Potter over and over.
Oh. No, I'd go watch probably two or three movies a weekend and go play Return of the Attackers from Mars, the pinball machine.
See, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, well, I was pretty cool for a kid with no friends.
I would have been your friend.
Yeah. Well, we could have been friends. But you were 4 years younger than me, and that would have been really weird.
Yeah, you're like 16, I'm 12.
Come on, 12-year-old lady. Yes, but I did see this movie in 2002. That's when it came out.
So I would have been 11.
Yeah, I was like 15 maybe, almost 15. I don't remember the month that this came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, depends. I might have been 15. But yeah, we were living in a post 9/11 world where spiders were running wild on our movies.
Whoa.
Not really. Just this movie.
Well, and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was saving us from Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. Got all these spiders in the early aughts.
Actually, Spider-Man came out in the same year.
It came out like right before this.
Yeah, they poked fun at it in the trailer and in the movie. They said, it's a Spider-Man.
Oh, how clever.
Yeah, so, yeah, Eight-Legged Freaks. It was birthed out of a short film, like a lot of movies are, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was a director by the name of Ellery El-Kayim. He's a New Zealander.
Oh.
Yeah. What's on me shoe here when I step in? It's a nasally Australian. That's how you do a New Zealander.
Yeah, is that how they differ from the Australian accents in New Zealand?
Well, that's just how I do
More nasally?
It's just how I do it. It's not, I'm not saying it's correct. That's just my technique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a wallaby.
All right.
I don't think they have wallabies in New Zealand. I'm just doing an Australian, but nasally.
Well, if you're from New Zealand and you listen, let us know if Jarrett's right.
So, yeah, he did a this Ellery Elkayem did a short film called Larger Than Life. And it was also about a eight-legged freak.
Whoa.
But just one. But it was terrorizing a woman in her apartment. And it caught the eye of one Roland Emmerich, the German producer, director, writer. And Dean Devlin, his little cohort that also helped him on... he's not a little cohort. He's pretty... he's definitely very...
Dean Devlin sounds like a villain in the 1920s.
So does Roland Emmerich, the German producer. So yeah, they've been wanting to make a homage, if you will, to films like Them and Tarantula. All films with exclamation points at the end. With bugs. Because they did that in the 50s.
All bug movies have to have exclamation points.
Yeah, it's like, ah, a bug. And then it's got an exclamation point when you see a bug. It's like, ah, a roach. Yeah. Ants. We got ants.
Ants. There is a movie called Ants, but yeah. It has a Z.
Yeah.
And
there's always something weird.
A Woody Allen's in it.
Yeah. That's why it should have had an exclamation point. Ah, Woody Allen.
Get it away from me.
So Devlin and Emmerich love those movies. And of course, they've been making sci-fi for a while. They made Stargate. They made, I don't know if Devlin made, yeah, I think Devlin was on Stargate with Emmerich. But anyway, they made Stargate. They made Independence Day, which we love.
Oh.
We love Independence Day.
Love it.
Of course, they also made 1998 Godzilla.
Ew.
Which we don't really want to talk about. We talked about that on another podcast, Everything I Learned from Movies. Shout out to them.
Yeah, if you want to hear us ever talk about that, that's where you can hear it.
Yes. But yeah, they love those movies, those bee insect movies where like a nitrogen bomb goes off and makes some ants big or something. So Ellery Elkayem, he hasn't directed that much. He did Return of the Living Dead, Necropolis. Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave.
Rave to the Grave?
And with
oh my God.
The direct-to-DVD sequel to Without a Paddle, Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling. But don't discredit him on those later titles that he directed, because I really do like Eight-Legged Freaks.
Because in this case, he did not age... well, like wine.
No.
He aged like milk.
Yes, like milk or like a dead person. So, yeah, he made this short film about a giant spider in this lady's apartment terrorizing her. And it caught the eye of those big Hollywood producers. And his short film actually made like $50,000 at this New Zealand Film Commission. And that's crazy for a short. Shorts don't make money. You make shorts so you can wear them. No, that's a different kind of short. You make shorts so you can get attention and maybe make a feature film. Or just you're showing off your talents so you can maybe make something else.
Yeah. Shorts aren't for the big buku bucks.
Yeah. But that's crazy that he made that much money on a short. So Devlin and Emmerich, they were wanting to make one of those old-timey B-movies for a long time, but they wanted to do it with new special effects, which I can't fully agree with, because they go all out when they go special effects. Like, Godzilla was almost all CGI, even though they did make a suit. They made, like, a huge, like, bust of the Godzilla. Even though I don't like that movie, I really wish they did do some more practical in it.
To ruin it a little less.
Yeah. But yeah, they wanted to make one of those movies with the full-on power of computer-generated graphics. And they likened it to putting a Porsche motor into a Volkswagen. When they saw Ellery's film, they said his short film was precisely in the vein we had been discussing. It was hilarious, stylish, and well-made. We knew immediately that this was the opportunity we had been hoping for, to revitalize a dormant style that we had both loved.
It's beautiful when those things can come together.
I know.
The producers met with Ellery to discuss a feature-length version of the spider short, featuring not one giant arachnid, but thousands.
How could you do that? With computers.
With CGI. Emmerich and Devlin wanted LKM to direct because, as Devlin said, we wanted him to express his vision the way he did so effectively in the short, only on a larger scale, with the resources of a full production team behind him, our combined experience as filmmakers, plus the best effects.
So, finally, all things came together, and this film was pushed into pre-production and then production, and it was ramping up. But what were they going to name it? Were they going to name it Eight-Legged Freaks? Well, that would work, because all those 50s B-movies always had those crazy names, like Them, It Was Them, and Tarantula, It's Coming, and stuff like that. But no, it actually didn't have that cool name. I think it's a great name. But it was called Arach Attack, which I think is kind of dumb.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
It doesn't even sound good enough for, like, Sci-Fi Channel.
No.
Sci-Fi Channel is better than coming up with titles for their stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness it fell apart, that title, because it was too close to Iraq Attack.
Yeah, Iraq, the country attack. And this was 2002, so we had a little tiff with Iraq coming up, I think.
Yeah. We were just starting that Iraq war.
Yeah.
So we probably shouldn't name a movie one letter difference from.
or just two letters. It just sounds exactly the same. It doesn't matter about the letters.
That's true.
But yeah. So this came about because David Arquette ad-libbed a line during the filming, and you could hear it in the movie. Let's get back here, while you like it, freaks. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so they named the movie "I Like It, Freaks."
So, of course, this plot's very simple. David Arquette, he's a character who comes back to his hometown. It's a town isolated, which makes it perfect for a monster movie. There's a chemical that gets dumped into a river. There's some crickets that live by that river. And what happens to those crickets?
They get eaten by the spiders.
Yeah, because there's this weirdo with a spider farm, which Elisa does not seem to be able to grasp the idea of a spider farm.
No, and I don't understand why it's not more, like, upsetting to you that there is this creepy man.
Where do pet stores get spiders? Okay. They just go into
There's not, like, exclusively a spider farm. There has to be, like, Insect Palace. Or something like.
Do pet stores just go in the alley and collect spiders and then sell them? People that breed spiders for pet stores.
But that can't just be the only thing that this person does.
But that's what So this guy breeds spiders and he collects these crickets, which are infected by this, not infected, but doused, if you will, with this chemical. We don't know what the chemical is. It doesn't matter. It's basically a modern B movie.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the explanation is. So he calls it spiders on steroids, and he says he's going to make a fortune, which means he's either selling the spiders because they're big, or he's going to sell them to a freak show, or he's just selling them. So he's obviously breeding them to sell them.
But he's crazy.
He's crazy.
And he hangs out with a child.
He's crazy, and he's in a small town, so there's only one person that's going to want to hang out with a guy with spiders, and that's a kid.
It's just so awful to me.
But the key thing is, the worst person in the town is that kid, not the guy with the bunch of spiders in his room. The kid is annoying.
Yes.
This kid, once we all have smartphones in our pockets, this kid can be just aborted, because he's just...
Oh, yeah.
Every ounce of information he gives, you can just, like, oh, yeah, I Googled that already.
Well, and, like, halfway through the movie, when you've already seen, like, these types of spiders, he's like, oh, trapdoor spider, wow!
Oh, it's in the name, kid. I know what it does.
And he, like, gives you, like, some weird science fact about it, and well, like moves on.
It's a trapdoor spider. It loves to live in 82 degrees and lives in the Amazon. It's like, it's gonna eat people. I don't care where it lives.
Yeah, it's like, shut up, science nerd.
Anyways, this kid, I want him to die the whole time.
And he never does.
So this town gets overtaken by this whole group of spiders because this guy loses. He gets bit by a spider and knocks all of his cages over and lets loose all of his spiders.
Yeah, like he really makes a big deal about knocking these cages over.
So these mutated spiders take over this small Arizona town. That's the plot. And
they kill people.
But before we move on from the plot, we have to talk about the best character, and that is Harlan. Harlan, yes. The radio host, which starts off the movie and ends the movie because he's the best character.
Oh, yeah.
Played by Dougie Doug, known from Cool Runnings. He's great. He's the inspiration for our other little show that we have, Driving Underground, if you like cryptids, UFOs, ghosts, possession, whatever. We haven't talked about possession or ghosts yet, but we will.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, I've been looking. Anyways, yeah, he's like a... He's a radio host. He talks about the government conspiracies and UFOs, and he warns the town that they're coming. And then when the spiders come, he's like, "I warned you. I warned you." Even though we never said anything about spiders, but he's the funniest character. I mean, he's obviously the comic relief, but
yeah,
he's the best character.
Well, I mean, like, this isn't a movie that necessarily like needs comic relief. It's a funny movie.
It does not need comic relief. You're right. It is. It's not campy. I mean, it's not really campy per se. The whole movie's funny.
Yeah. Well, I like it because the movie's played like it's a serious movie.
Yeah.
They're playing it like they're really doing a movie. Like,
yeah.
You know, a lot of those silly movies, they play it like, this is a riot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I explained it as it's kind of like that Gremlins kind of humor. Like, sometimes they give the spiders, like, a scream, like, like they're going down that zip line, and one of them is following David Arquette. He's like,
yeah, they have, like, human noises.
Yeah, but it's never, like, dumb or stupid. Like, it's all played very fluidly, and it fits in the movie. It's not like a velociraptor saying Alan or something like that, you know?
Fuck that.
Let's move on, and... go into a little bit of the production of the movie.
All right. Well, after reading the script for Eight-Legged Freaks and watching Ellery's short film, David Arquette was very interested in playing the role.
After watching this movie, I'm like, I want more David Arquette.
I know. He's like a much friendlier looking Edward Norton. Like, they took Edward Norton and they injected him with some like really cute baby fat and smiles.
Yeah, he's like he's a little doughier, but and he's like a little shyer.
But he's got like that like smug shyness. Yeah. Cute.
He doesn't really open his mouth all the way when he talks. Like, I'm talking like a teenage girl right now. But yeah.
We love David Arquette.
I like David Arquette. I always liked him. I used to watch Scream all the time. That was like one of my first R-rated movies. Even though I was never not allowed to watch R-rated movies, but that was like one of the ones. And I was like, oh man, that guy's a cool guy. He's funny and he's saving them. It's so fun. I don't know. I think he's this charming actor and he should come back.
He is.
Unless he's done something bad.
We always gotta be careful. I hope he hasn't done anything bad.
We looked and we saw that he had like some like drunk stuff, like maybe he went to rehab or something, but I don't care about that.
Yeah. If you like alcohol and you're trying to be better, you do you.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That doesn't hurt me. But yeah, so he campaigned for that role. He wanted to be in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He liked it. That's very rare. Some people, I kind of lose a little bit of respect and favorability for movies when I hear like actors are kind of just doing their job. Like they forget, like some of them don't even remember what the movie was about.
Yeah.
Like, I forget her name. I just went blank right now, but the girl in like Drive, the blonde girl.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't even, she's never watched Drive. She just doesn't even really know what Drive is. Like the movie, like, and Drive is amazing.
It's, oh my God.
She's like, yeah, I don't even know what that is. Like,
like, I can't believe that.
How do you just go to work and not know? Like, I would be so happy to be in Drive, even if I was an extra.
Well, it just would be so exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. It just makes me lose a little touch with the movie. So that makes me happy that he wanted to be in there.
I like when, like, you know, actors are excited about their roles.
Yeah.
So Arquette describes his character. Chris has just returned to his hometown after 10 years. He's dealing with the death of his father and the hard decision about selling off the old mine, facing the woman he once loved and lost, and he's just generally disconnected and emotionally overwhelmed.
Yeah, he's got a good grapple on that character.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very good description.
Yeah, it even touches on the plot a little bit, too. Yeah, he really wants to, he doesn't say it at first, but I think he wants to go back for that long-lost love, that little, that MILF sheriff lady.
Oh my God. What? And Scarlett Johansson is her daughter.
Yeah, very nice.
Shut up. Oh my God, she's like 12 in that movie.
She's 18 in that movie.
No, yes, she's like a child.
She's 3 years older than me.
She looks like a brat doll in that movie. She's a child. So anyway. The town of Prosperity does not exist in Arizona. Shocker. It's made up.
Well, who knows? There's tons of tucked away towns around there in Arizona.
I'm sure there's towns with crazier names than Prosperity in the world. Yeah. Like Pee Pee Poo Poo.
I don't know about that one. Maybe. Maybe in other countries. Or maybe in the South.
Pee Pee Poo Poo. I'm a fucking child idiot. Anyway. The scenes inside Prosperity Mall were actually shot in an abandoned mall in Glendale, Arizona.
I've been there. Not to the mall, but Glendale.
I've been to Glendale, California.
Yes.
So the location was formerly Valley West Mall and also known as Menistee Town Center. This movie would be the last operation that took place in the mall as it was demolished soon after shooting was completed. The mall land was redeveloped into a retail strip mall afterwards.
Another mall bites the dust.
Another mall bites the dust.
That's when malls were starting to die at the beginning of the 2000s. They still are. Well, I guess that's why you don't put a mall in the middle. I guess the Glendale's not in the middle of nowhere, but
still, malls be dying in bigger and better cities than that.
Yeah, and comes a Walmart. So there were lots of different spiders in this movie.
Yes,
there's tons of spiders. I'm sure you've seen black widows, daddy long legs, but none of those were used. They went through the books of spiders, and they're like. They went in the back of the book and they're like, most interesting spiders.
Yeah.
And they're like, orb weaver spider, jumping spider, of course. Jumping spider, you know, that's one of the smartest arachnids or arthropods ever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's crazy what they do. They like look at you, they like can pivot their head. Like, they've tested the intelligence of them. They're freaking crazy. Anyways.
Oh, that's gross.
I think they're cool. So after the jumping spider, of course there's tarantulas, the big boys.
The thick boys.
The thick boys. they're the T-Rexes of the group, the ones that can knock over the trailers and such. Then they have the trapdoor spiders, one of my favorites. Those, they like come from under the ground and they pull you back under. You barely see them. They were killing ostriches in this movie.
Made me sad.
You like the ostriches? I like ostriches. Good thing, the neck... The ostrich neck, that was a fake neck. That was a good practical effect there.
That was fake?
Yeah.
Whoa. That was Whoa. Good then.
And then we also had the spitting spider. That was the one that was spitting the web around ScarJo.
Oh.
And, of course, the funnel web from Australia, which is really cool as well.
Mate.
It's a spider. It's a funnel web, it is.
So the alternate beginning is an extended version in which Harlan does a broadcast promoting the mall, after which a worker at the mall sees Wade having the toxic waste put in the basement.
That seems kind of goofy.
Yeah, like, oh, wink, 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 wink.
Yeah, in the real beginning, a truck with the toxic waste just crashes.
Yeah. I like that much better.
Yeah, it's kind of simple, but it works way better than, I'm going to put this in the basement.
In the alternate ending, after the mines are blown up, the townsfolk walk down a road to get help. They meet up with Pete and Harlan, who are walking through the desert. Pete trying to convince Harlan that spiders were not aliens, which we all know. That's bullshit.
I don't know.
Afterwards, Sam and Chris kiss as the scene ends.
Aww.
I like the other ending better.
Yeah. I like the other ending better, too. With Harlan talking to the screen again, and he shows his gold teeth.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, the gold in the mines!
Chris, he found the gold in the mines! He didn't have to close it anyway.
So, let's get to the special effects, my friend.
Those effects, they be special.
So, Karen E. Gulikas, she was the whiz on the special effects. She was in charge of a huge team, 70 people team.
Yes.
This team was from a company called CFX, who also worked on films like Independence Day.
Oh.
Patriot, True Lies, one of my favorite action films. And funny enough, Spider-Man.
Oh.
Yeah, they did Spider-Man the same year. They were working on it at the same time. So the special effects team started their work 7 months prior to the start of the actual production, which was getting more, like, the amount that they could work on a movie before they even started was getting more and more with the advances in technology. Nowadays, they can start even more before
start before there's even a script.
Roland Emmerich stated that right away they started running into the stores and buying spiders so they could study them. I'd come by to see how they were doing on the effects, and there would be aquariums full of spiders everywhere.
I can't even look at you.
Why?
Because of shapes your face takes.
That's what Roland Emmerich sounds like. The animators ended up viewing hundreds of hours of nature documentary footage of arachnids in order to understand exactly how these creatures moved. Because they don't move like regular animals. I think that's one of the things why people have phobias about bugs and stuff. Because they move very differently than animals or fish or birds.
It's very quick, very sharp.
And then they can stop, like, really quick, too.
I hate it! And their little freaky little faces.
If you can call that a face. Yeah, I said it.
Oh. So Devlin says, previously we made animation to fit the existing scene. Now we're able to render the animation ahead of time in 3D and then move our virtual camera to fit the images in the live footage. This way we are free to do an enormous amount of work prior to filming.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that would be the way that would make it a lot easier to do the effects, because back during, like, stop motion, they literally had to layer it on the film.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do it, the special effects, like, after.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're getting pretty ahead if we're getting to before.
Yeah. Also, I mean, easy example would be, look at Jurassic Park back then at the beginning of CGI. And look at Fallen Kingdom, the new Jurassic World, and look at the, like, what they can do with the CGI, like the action sequences, how they can go in and out, and they filmed that with none of those things there. And look at the scenes that they have CGI in the original Jurassic Park. The cameras are pretty much locked down. They don't move. The action scenes are not, you can't see, like, 360 around the focus of the scene.
No, I totally understand what you're saying, like, they're able to create pretty much a whole world now.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was like, all right, so we've created this one little segment and you can't have the camera move at all because we need to put it in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in just 20 years.
Yeah. They can move the camera. I mean, they could move it a little bit and still get away with it back then. But nowadays, you can animate a whole sequence and then have that almost have those movements downloaded onto cameras, and those cameras will perfectly move where they need to go for those images that you pre-rendered in the computers to be put onto the footage.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
But yeah, this was like in between. Think of that, and now think of this movie in between. It's exactly in between Jurassic Park and Fallen Kingdom. So it's in between the technologies, and it's starting to be able to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to think about it.
Where the camera moves a little more.
Yeah, and they're able to choreograph things before they even shot anything.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to computer imagery, creature effects supervisor Bill Johnson provided numerous mechanical models of the supersized spiders and was responsible for creating the sarcophagus-like silken cocoons that contained the orb weaver's human victims.
Yeah.
So we had a bit of practical.
Yeah, I think you can tell. I think in the scene where ScarJo gets wrapped up when it comes through the window, I think the very first part where its legs come through, that's practical. And of course, there's some close-up parts where it's practical. And you can tell it's really good practical effects when it's used. And I always wish that they used more.
It would be nice if they used more.
But I do think the CGI was done well for 2002.
And yeah.
Except when the spiders do get shot, it looks like when the Mars Attacks aliens when their heads explode.
Oh my god, it does.
But it's kind of cartoony, and it works with the movie for me.
Yeah, there's some pretty good CGI, and there's some very silly CGI.
Yeah. Thankfully,
when they're driving and spiders get shot and flipped over and there's a lot of camera movement.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's when it looks pretty silly. When the camera's not moving, it looks pretty good.
It works better with things like insects, I think, because they're kind of robotic. They don't have the fat movements and the muscle movements that regular animals do. They just have those joints that like a robot does. So I think that's why it looked a little bit better. This movie didn't do too well. It did make its money back. Cost, I think, $30 million to make, and I think it made $45 million. So
that's pretty good.
That's pretty darn successful for. I mean, David Arquette was not like a top billed actor by any means. He was always a supporting actor, and they put him in a leading role. So, I mean, making your money back with a supporting actor in a lead role can't beat that.
Yeah, and it does have an approval rating of 48% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I know a lot of. Better movies that have a lower approval rating. So
yeah, well,
it ain't bad. I think that going by a score on the internet on what you think of a movie is stupid.
I think a lot of you listening probably saw my poll on our Twitter, and a majority of you voted fuck Rotten Tomatoes. But we do bring it up on the show just as a little touching point. Not that we ever agree with Rotten Tomatoes or that it keeps us from seeing a movie.
No. Literally, I have never seen a Rotten Tomatoes score keep me from seeing a movie or enjoying it.
Yeah,
Chappie has like 13%, and I think Chappie is one of the best movies.
Yeah, I love Chappie.
Chappie is fucking awesome.
I don't understand that score. So this movie did well enough for them to be like, maybe a sequel, maybe?
Maybe.
So they announced a sequel, but alas, never came to... fruition. So,
David Arquette, come on.
I think it's a little.
We need more eight-legged freaks.
I would be for it, but I think it's a little late for that.
No, it's. They bring things back all the time.
Known franchise.
Like, eight-legged freaks needs to come back.
Yeah, bring it up. Do a series. That'd
hashtag
be cool.
Bring back eight-legged freaks.
Yeah, hashtag 16-legged freaks double. I don't know.
Hashtag David Arquette comeback.
Yeah, Netflix series. Let's do a Netflix.
Oh, series. Hashtag or at Netflix.
Back to prosperity.
Back to prosperity.
Hashtag yes. Back to prosperity.
Everybody get on board.
I just thought about this. I got a tiny bit of a Tremors vibe from the movie, too. It's kind of like a Tremors.
Yeah.
Not as good. Like, Tremors is definitely more of a classic, but it kind of had a little bit of that humor, like, especially with the town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had a flavor.
Yeah, a flavor.
A flavor of it.
Especially the later Tremors movies, they get goofier and goofier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our freaking episode on Eight-Legged Freaks.
Yeah.
Freaking episode.
Freaking freaky. So thank you for listening. So much fun.
We hope that you check out the movie if you haven't yet.
Yeah, please watch it. David Arquette is seriously like very enjoyable.
Yeah. There's really nothing to spoil because it's just giant spiders on in a small town and David Arquette and Dougie Doug from Cool Runnings shoot him.
Yeah.
And the funny guy from Groundhog Day, the guy that's like, Bill Davidson, that guy, he's in it too. He's a cop.
Yeah, and Scarlett Johansson's in it as a child, so you can feel very gross
about
yourself.
She's 18 in that movie.
Okay, the fact that you're very insistent on it and the fact that you probably looked it up.
For one thing, I was 15 when I saw that, so she was actually too old for me.
Oh my God. Anyway, thanks for listening. Please rate us, love us, like us.
Hit us up on all those stupid social accounts.
Yeah.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Patreon.
We'll be back. Yeah. Our next film is 20 Million Miles to Earth, a Ray Harryhausen classic. That'll be in a week from now.
Yeah, and I'm stoked we haven't done like a classic in a while.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's one of the good ones. You haven't seen that one yet.
I have not.
That's right. And next week is a drive-in underground, so tune in for that one next week. It's going to be spooky ooky.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to this one.
And we'll see you on the other side.
And Godzilla bless America.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla.
Godzilla loves America.
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Praise him.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.